Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. I've got a guest for you all who's been shifting paradigms with his, let me see, almost his entourage of intellect, a very well-studied political aficionado and funny character who's his alter ego. Welcome to the show, Steve Behrman with alter ego Swami Beyondananda.
Well, thanks, Veronica, for having me. And it's great. We do need to shift the paradigm. Many people have said the shift has hit the fan. Evolution played its trump card. And now it's up to us to call a spade,
As you
forget the
call your
diamond.
website, you say wake up laughing. I think this sometimes people aren't laughing lately.
Well, I understand why people aren't laughing, and when we are able to laugh, then it brings more oxygen to the brain, and it gives us more creativity and more flexibility, and helps us overgrow the current new word for our political condition, situation.
That's actually really good. Can I qu coin that?
Well, you can put it into circulation. Yes, that's
Right
why we coin
on.
words. Yeah, and you
Yeah,
can say it on the radio because I do and I have so.
I'm not afraid of that.
No.
Sometimes I'm more afraid of the news. What do you think? Do you think there's such a thing as fake news?
Well, I think that there's. I wrote an article about Fox News a number of years ago, and I called it "Come on, Baby, Fight My Liar." And what I said is that I looked at so many of these posts and so many things I was getting from friends who are conservatives, right wingers, and so on, and I found that about 70 or 80% of that was either all false or mostly false. So I concluded, and since people like to actually get reinforcement for what they already believe, I wrote in my article, I wrote that conservatives like being lied to. Whereas progressives prefer lying to themselves. And
Do you think we do? Come on now, is that
I'll give
true?
you a really good example of this.
Okay, you're on.
Today is a very famous anniversary, April 4th. It's the 49th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King.
Oh, wow,
It's the
really?
50th anniversary of the speech that Martin Luther King gave about the Vietnam War that probably likely got him assassinated. Now we all know that
Wait a
King.
sec, was that the speech of I Have a Dream?
No. That
Okay.
was okay. That was in 1963.
Okay.
However, when he started speaking out against the war machine, he became a threat. And so on my podcast, Wiki Politiki, which will be available later this week.
What a great name. I think sounds
Yes.
like a in Hawaiian intrigue.
Yes, it's like Hawaii. Are we doing all these things? So anyway, in my web, I interviewed William Pepper, and William Pepper is an attorney. He was a friend of Martin Luther King's in his last year of King's life, and as you probably didn't know, in 1999, William Pepper presented a case in Memphis, Tennessee, which was where King was shot.
Okay.
It was a civil case. And he was representing Coretta Scott King, King's widow, and James Earl Ray, the accused assassin. And in
Okay.
a court of law, he proved to a jury, and the jury agreed, that James Earl Ray was a patsy. He was innocent of the crime. That the perpetrators were the FBI, high-level officials at the FBI, including J. Edgar Hoover and his assistant. I think his name was so. William Tolson, Clyde Tolson, I'm sorry, the CIA, the U.S. Army, the local police in Memphis, Tennessee, and local mobsters in Memphis. And if you Google William Pepper, you'll find out the whole story.
Like
But
PEPPER.
like the condiment. And I spoke with him yesterday. He's been when he presented his case. There were 70 testimonials and depositions over a 4-week period. It was enough to convince the jury in less than an hour to find in favor of Coretta Scott King. The civil case was for $100 because the idea was not so much to collect money from the perpetrators, but to bring it out. And that was in 1999, almost 18 years ago. And
but I've never heard of that.
Of course you haven't. Wow. And this brings us to the other aspect of fake news.
Right.
This is how progressives like lying to themselves. They prefer not looking at inconvenient truths. The Kennedy assassination, what is probably the real story or a more real story behind 9/11, behind the Twin Towers attack. And
when they call it conspiracy theory, it's often a cover up for anybody who it's a put down of people who want to know what's behind the scenes, isn't it?
According to William Pepper in my interview I did with him yesterday, he said that conspiracy theory, I'd read this before, was a term invented by the CIA in the mid 60s to cover up, to prevent people from investigating the Kennedy assassination. Hmm. That if they smeared it with conspiracy theory, then they would taint all of the good information with this, you know, this disinformation. And so William Pepper has written three books. His latest is called The Plot to Kill King. Detail, it's 700 or 800 pages of detail, detail, detail.
Oh, my, really? Uh-huh.
He has devoted his life to bringing this this story to light. And you haven't heard of it because the mainstream liberal press, while they may not be telling bold-faced, outrageous lies like the right-wing press is, they have nonetheless, they're essentially creating mistruth, misunderstanding, misinformation by not reporting real news.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why we have our political situation right now, where we have a president who is a blatant liar,
yes,
who has reality checks bouncing like crazy, and we have the, however, the mainstream press like the New York Times and the Washington Post, they have no credibility because people more and more and more are becoming aware of how for the past 50 years, they have withheld news that puts our government in a bad light. We can
not see just in a bad light, in danger of absolutely dissolving because nobody can put up with it anymore, right?
Right. Well, you know, how that would get dissolved, I'm not sure. But I'm launching my website and my podcast, Wiki Politiki, to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to turn the funk into function and leave the junk at the junction.
So it's you're talking about a reality podcast. I mean, capital R.
Real reality. And of course, what we're going to be doing with the podcast, there's really two aspects of it. One is a half-hour podcast interviewing people who have important things to share about, not just about perpetrations. This has happened to be the piece that I thought I had to jump into on the anniversary of the assassination, but also with solutions, with ways that the two sides can work together, with vision, with positive things that are happening, with amazing ideas that we would be doing were we not tied up in the dysfunction that we are right now. And then the second part of the podcast will be hour-long interviews with solutionaries called Wiki Politiki Conversations for Co-Creation.
Great.
So we're going to be creating a database library of solutions and ways of interacting. My intention is that a year from now, April 4th, 2018, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King, that this story about the real story, the real provable, factual story about who killed King and why is known and has to be reported by the mainstream press, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Fox News, and so on. And, you know, it's interesting when you go deeper into this particular story, you see that it's not just, you know, the right wing. It's not just the, you know, the racists and so on who wanted to do away with King. People in his own camp, like Jesse Jackson, were involved. They were.
And why would Jesse Jackson be involved? One would think he
apparently
would be
for the money.
Oh,
he was
really?
Paid money.
Uh-huh. And, so there is another nugget of what's wrong in our system, right?
Well, the thing is that I think it's more than what's wrong in our system. It's really the aspects of human nature that are now up for healing. We are in evolutionary times, and my colleague and co-author in Spontaneous Evolution, Bruce Lipton, says that crisis precipitates evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in
I believe that, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, you've seen that. We're in the midst of multiple crises right now.
Mm-hmm. And so, I like to call it the evolution revolution.
It is, mm-hmm. because revolution seems to be the idea as meet the old boss, the new boss, same as the old boss. It kind of keeps things going in a circular pattern that keeps repeating itself, whereas evolution is emergent. Mm-hmm. Something new shows up. There is a new system for organizing humanity that wants to emerge. It's not a top-down dominator system like the New World Order. It's actually a newer world order that comes from awareness and realization. And what this is—
consciousness.
Yes, it is consciousness. And it's the realization that the next phase of human evolution is recognizing we're all cells in the same body of humanity. And much of what we've been doing is really autoimmune dysfunction and fighting other healthy cells. So this is what wants to emerge right now, just as surely as the caterpillar wants to become the butterfly.
Well, that's exciting. Do you think one of the things that was happening to me when they were preparing for this, or everybody was all getting all excited about the election, is we have a convergence problem where you've got climate out of our normal control, if you will. We've got finances. There's so much stealing from people. You've got war all over. You've got famines. You've got this. You've got that. And everything is kind of converging where there has to be something giving way at some point. Which one's going to go first is kind of how I'm seeing it.
Well, you know, there's a very, I think, a very wise political philosopher named Otto Scharmer, Scharmer. And after the election, he came out with an analysis that said when a system is in dysfunction and on the verge of failure, as you've just suggested, with these multiple fault lines, there's three ways to go. One way to go is to fall back, regroup, as in the past, and build a wall. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Another way to go is to perpetuate the status quo. And the third way to go is to move forward together. So we had three prime candidates in this presidential election. The Donald Trump candidate was for building a wall and going backward. The Hillary Clinton candidate was for maintaining the status quo. She was not a progressive candidate. She was a status quo candidate. And the progressive candidate, Bernie, got nudged out. And so my contention is that Donald Trump didn't win. Hillary Clinton lost. This was a vote of no confidence in Hillary Clinton.
What dumped Bernie? That was a behind-the-scenes thing, was it not?
Well, there were several things that dumped Bernie. First of all, it was the nefariousness and the treachery of the Democratic Party apparatus itself. They did everything they could to thwart his candidacy. Mm-hmm. They planted stories in the mainstream media. They didn't cover him. If you look at how New York Times...
Oh, we all knew that. Gosh. Right.
And then what happened, I think, was the timid nature of many Democrat voters who said, well, Hillary is a safer bet.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't realize is how universally Hillary is hated.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't realize is how compromised she is, and that how much criminal garbage has been smeared against her name. Some of it true and some of it not true.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem to matter. And it seemed like her candidacy was purely about narcissism, and it was about—
I thought it was the Democratic elite.
The Democratic elite, and it was also, speaking of the Democratic elite, it was about the imposition of political correctness. I think people, mainstream, regular, working class people, got really, really, really tired of this— You can't say radical Islam. You can't say this. And here are all of these overly sensitized people talking about microaggressions, when here is a macroaggression, the assassination of Martin Luther King, that's been ignored by the same people who focus on microaggressions, something I may have said that could have possibly been insulting to a designated minority group member who probably themselves don't even care about it. Sorry
That's
for the rant.
no, it's okay. I appreciate that. I guess you're quite right there. I guess what I feel like is that so much of what's really behind the scenes, and I wrote to you about this on our email exchange, that I find that what's behind the scenes is a kind of a machine that we never see. For example, when they're beating Obama up because of Obamacare and the prices that people had to pay, I'm going, well, when is somebody going to talk about the insurance companies and how they jack that up? That's what I mean about news. It's like, why aren't we hearing more of a whole picture? Even throughout the election, when people were throwing mud at each other, or poo, as you want to call it, right? I just go, why? Why? It's almost like there's a huge blanket over what's going on, and yet we feel it writhing in our guts. And one more thing I want to rant about is it seems like Bernie, in a way, kind of won in terms of people just rising up and picking him all over the place. And I know a lot of people around the world who also wanted him. So it's like, the vote was in, if you want to know, you know what I'm saying? It sort of seemed like an obvious choice, but it couldn't work because it
It
would,
couldn't work.
no,
It
it would.
couldn't work because the establishment would not allow it. And see,
The
what we're starting with,
dynasty.
or dynasty, as we would call
Yeah. That's right.
So what you're pointing out is that what I call it is the great upwising, as people are waking up and wising up. And it was why Hillary was defeated. There were more people who were looking at alternative news. They were comparing what the mainstream news was saying about the things that you're talking about, things like fracking, things like
Oh my
genetically modified
gosh. Yeah.
food,
Oh.
all of these things that are, that the corporate agenda is supported by the New York Times, by National Public Radio, by the Democratic Party. Even Bernie, while he can talk about these economic issues and economic injustices and drug prices and even the drug companies, he can't talk about the military-industrial complex. That is something, ever since King and the two Kennedys were killed, they've kind of explained it to the Democrats when Jimmy Carter became president. They explained to him that the military-industrial complex was going to perpetuate itself, and that the president had to color inside the lines. Same thing with Obama. Whatever you think of Obama, whether you think he's a CIA shill or whether you think he is a well-intentioned individual who got boxed in, nonetheless, the deep state called the shots. And this was the first election where the term deep state actually came out. So
Well, I
people.
like that term because it's been really bugging me as an intuitive for a long time that there's an undercurrent power structure that we can't put our hands or our votes on, right?
So far.
So.
And the reason why I'm creating this wiki politicky and this evolutionary upwising is that what is required is an independent vote and voice of we the people, independent of the two political parties. So as a kind of a joke on my wiki politicky site, as part of Join the Upwising, I'm creating a non-governmental, non-corporate, non-existent, non-organization called ICU, Independent Citizens United, as in ICU, as in I see what you're doing, and in intensive care unit, as in I see you,
Yeah, I
I
see
see
that.
what you're up to. So I think that eventually, and maybe in the not too distant future, there will be a movement independent of both political parties and independent of the characters, even Bernie Sanders, even Elizabeth Warren, that is so big that that the political characters will have to either hew to a bigger program or fall by the wayside. The self-education process is unstoppable.
Okay. Wow, I think this is really something. How could that work? I mean, would they not snuff it?
Well, there's a couple of different things. First of all, you know, they're looking at, I mean, of course, they can snuff anything they want. But one of the great moments in a pivotal moment, this is according to, let's see, what's her name? She wrote Diet for a Small Planet.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I forget.
Yes. Frances Moore LePay.
That's right. Okay.
Frances Moore LePay wrote about a turning point in Gandhi's movement when he recognized that the Indian people outnumbered the British colonialists by 300,000 to 1.
Wow, that's quite a few people.
Is see ourselves in the mirror and see how many of us there are. There was a very interesting campaign. I was involved with a political activist named Joseph McCormick. Okay. Several years ago. And Joseph, his background was very conservative, right-wing, military, Christian coalition, Army Rangers, and so on. And he ran for Congress as a Republican in Georgia, lost the election, and had went through kind of a dark night of the soul. And he found himself in a cabin in rural Virginia. And he had an epiphany, and the epiphany was that his job was to reunite America and focus on the virtues and values that both conservatives and progressives bring. Incidentally, Glenn Beck is doing the same thing now.
Wow.
Yeah, he's touring with a gay progressive somebody. You know, it's really interesting how things are changing. So anyway, so Joseph and I worked for a number of years on this Reuniting America project.
Yeah, what's his name again, Joseph?
Joseph McCormick.
Okay.
Joseph McCormick.
Okay.
He's now living and working in China. That's a whole other story. But mm-hmm. he created a fabulous legacy. And one of the things that he did, he created these retreats for leaders of both progressive and conservative organizations. And in one retreat, he had Joan Blades, who was one of the directors of MoveOn.org, the progressive website, mm-hmm. and Michelle Combs, who was at that time the head of the Christian Coalition. Hmm. And at this retreat, just like Joseph and I became close friends, Michelle and Joan Blades became close friends. And they, about 10 years ago, they created a highly successful campaign to preserve net neutrality. They took out a full-page ad in the New York Times, Christian Coalition, MoveOn.org. What are we doing working together? And then they with their constituents, they closed down the switchboards of Congress, and they got their way.
Wow.
So here is a transpartisan campaign that goes across the lines of left and right. We have the technology now. We are now working on a way for millions and millions and millions of citizens to have an independent and verifiable vote on any and all issues.
Oh, wonderful.
It'll be as verifiable as your bank card is.
Wow.
And so it's not like a public opinion poll. These are all real people. And based on what they learn about the issues, people can change their votes. Now imagine, you know, well, if there's like 100,000 people, that's not a big deal. But imagine 50 million people showing up to say, we want the legalization of marijuana, or better yet, hemp. Mm-hmm. Marijuana is just a smokescreen to keep hemp illegal. we want verifiable elections where every vote is counted and every vote counts. We want a healthcare system that is healthy and caring, and we want the insurance companies to be curbed. Because we have a pay-to-play system right now that is corrupted by money, everybody in office is thinking only of one thing, and that is to raise money for their election next time.
I know, isn't that sort of appalling?
Or if they're not going to be elected, then they know that they're going to have a cushy job as a lobbyist with all of the industries they become cozy with.
So what you're talking about, let me put it this way, and you tell me if this is what you see. I heard many, 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 many years ago when I was starting to wake up was that consciousness would rise in people all over, whether you're top of the military, whether you're lying in the street, whatever. And what, when you're speaking of this very independent, verifiable vote, or what is that what you said? Yes.
Independent, verifiable vote.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's that whole thing is that it's rising in each of us at some level so that we can see en masse a more unique, unified potential. Is that right?
I think that as we, our technology has far exceeded our ability to use this technology. And of course, the classic Fantasia example, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, Mickey Mouse puts on the sorcerer's robes and then he can't control the technology that he unleashes because he doesn't have the consciousness. So we've got lots and lots and lots of information. We've got a good deal of knowledge, but we have very, very, very little wisdom as to how to use that knowledge. One of the reasons why there is so much disheartenment in the heartland is because heartlessness has been put in the driver's seat.
Right.
And that's for because several hundred years ago, science and religion got a divorce. And religion got custody of the spiritual. Science got custody of the material. And since that time, there's been a growing chasm in the middle where there's no agreed upon notion of what is sacred. Something that transcends both religion and non-religion. So on the secular side, we've got people who earnestly, who don't believe in God necessarily, but they earnestly believe in the sacredness of the web of life.
Mm-hmm.
And because there is no unified idea of the sacred, even we looked at the golden rule as a standard, there's no unified idea of the sacred. So consequently, we get divided into these two ideological tribes, and we can't, until now, unify to hold our government accountable to a standard that we would hold ourselves accountable to. So that's what needs to happen.
But it is rising in our species, is it not? I mean, it's rising up in spite of people. Some people don't know about it, but they're going to feel the unity.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Of course it's rising up. And the thing is, it's not reported on the news because the news is not sorting for that. The news is not looking for something like that.
Oh, it's looking for marketing.
Yeah, well, it's looking to play it safe. And you see, one of the reasons why I say progressives prefer lying to themselves is that in the light of all the perpetrations, from the evidence about the Kennedy assassination and the aftermath, the Robert Kennedy assassination, the King assassination, the cover-up of the Iran-Contra, the use of 9/11 to create de facto military rule.
And the wars we create to destabilize countries.
I mean, we've created havoc in other countries, and now with Donald Trump as president, we have to correct face on the empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Hillary, we have four more years of muddling along, doing the same horrific things, but having a nice face on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so part of the waking up has to do with getting more, three things that the Democrats have lacked and why they've betrayed us.
Okay.
They've lacked the willingness to look at the truth. They've lacked the courage to stand up for the truth. They've lacked the vision to project onto the future a compelling alternative to what we have. They've spent so much energy being the second party, being the opposition, fighting against, mm-hmm. that when they come into power, they haven't been able to use their bully pulpit to be for anything because they cannot call out the corporate state, the military-industrial complex, and the deep state on the perpetration. So consequently, they cannot protect us against these things.
Because they're living in kind of a denial or a big shady brain, eh?
They're living in denial, and it's self-serving denial. I read a post by a journalist who didn't go the mainstream route. And he said that years ago when he was just, looking for a job, he got offered a very juicy job with a mainstream publication. And he wanted to take this job. However, as he began communicating with these people about what he would be covering, it became very clear that he would have to self-censor all the time. He would have to ignore stories that needed to be reported on because he had to be a good Boy Scout and color inside the line. So the first line of defense and denial is that people box themselves in. They go, well, I guess I wouldn't be able to write about that or talk about
just
that.
Just to remain secure in
to
their
remain
own,
secure.
In their own illusion of self, right?
Exactly. And so then what happens is they get a family, they get a house, they get a mortgage, they establish a certain lifestyle, and then, well, they're bought in. They go, well, now I guess I got to think about my children. I'm going to put them through college. I can't let down my partner. I can't put us in the poorhouse. I have to go along. And then the rationalization is, well, if I didn't do it, if I didn't go along, then everybody else would, then somebody else would do it instead of me. So we have a lot of people in high places who are compromised in that they have intentionally, they've lied to themselves. That's why I use that term, lied to themselves. It's much more sophisticated. You know, if you can close your eyes and close your ears and just get your news from a certain news source and only believe that news source,
right?
Like the people who watch Fox News and so on, then that's one thing. But if you are more sophisticated, you have access to different sources. And you go, you know what, I can't go there because it's a conspiracy theory. Then guess what? There has come here, and they're now in a driver's seat. So the betrayal by the corporate liberals it started a long time ago, but let's look at, I think if the one piece I would recommend for your listeners as a an exercise in self-education is Oliver Stone's 12-part video series called the Secret History of the Untold History of the United States.
That's a video series?
Yeah, 12 parts. It's like 12 hours. And if you watch this, you'll understand everything. You'll never have to watch another news program because you'll see exactly how things go down.
So they talk about the deep, what is it called?
The deep state.
Yeah.
It starts with on the eve of World War II.
Okay.
It begins with that, and it talks about how Henry Wallace, who was a true visionary, a true progressive, and was the favorite of Franklin D. Roosevelt, was nudged out of, like Bernie was just nudged, out of the vice presidency, and they installed Harry Truman, who became president, and he was able to be manipulated by the military-industrial state. Henry Wallace wouldn't have dropped the atomic bombs on Japan. The war would have been over anyway, and Henry Wallace wouldn't have done it. Henry Wallace had a vision for post-war world that would have been far more healing than what we put in instead. So you start to see how every step of the way, our government has been on the wrong side.
Isn't that interesting? In the name of democracy, I keep teasing people saying there is no democracy here, you guys.
We call it a mockracy.
That's a good one, mockracy.
Mockracy.
CK, right?
Yeah, MOCK.
Yeah, that's brilliant, actually. So when we talk about this verifiable, independent and verifiable vote, I'm going, okay, so here's some solutions, but what about the time frame? You know, what about...
Well, this is a project that's in the process of, it'll probably be funded before the end of the year.
Oh, good.
And again, there's a big education problem happening. And the education problem is that there's no consensus reality. There's no Walter Cronkite to tell us this is the way it is. There's no Johnny Carson to unite us late at night with a same common story. What's happened is that the two political parties, the two political impulses, have entirely different perceptions of reality. They're living in different realities. It's
not. So you're saying people like Colbert aren't helping us because he's obviously in one camp, right?
Well, I'm saying that I would say that the progressive camp is more sane. It's more focused on uniting people. Mm-hmm. It's more focused on supporting a world that is just, a world that is where people have freedom, a world that is economically fair, and a world that we respect the web of life. Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party, however, is a corporate party that cannot really make any progress against any of these things. So that's why the Democratic Party has been called the place where progressive votes go to die.
Oh, wow.
On the Republican side, as Joseph McCormick points out very articulately, there are definitely very, very, very functional aspects of conservative thought. You know, if you go back to what conservatives were when you and I were children, it was much more about frugality. It was much more about paying as you go. It was much more about individual responsibility and integrity and allowing, you know, the benefits of private enterprise to fall on lots of people through private charities, et cetera, et cetera. What we have now is a Republican Party that is completely doing the work of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
They have created climate change denial as an ideology so that 10 years ago, there was no such thing as climate change denial. But right now, if you call yourself a Republican, especially if you're in public office, then you have to buy this idea that climate change has not been proven. So already they are compromised into a different reality. Every one of the people that Donald Trump has put in, even though there are people that I know who voted for Trump thinking that it was going to be cleaning the swamp. Well, if he cleaned the swamp, he's simply liberated a bunch of alligators.
Right.
That's what he's done.
Right.
And so everybody that he's put in is part of a predator system, part of what John Perkins, the author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, calls the death economy. So because the
Democrats... Well, that's interesting because I often think that they're gathered together in order to kill off a lot of people.
Well, I think that if you know, it depends on how deeply you want to go into the rat hole. A lot of people are who've gone that deep look at much of what's going on as convenient depopulation of inconvenient people.
Exactly.
And you know, whether you buy that or not, I think you
it just feels like that, Steve. It feels like that at times.
Well, I think it's feeling like that to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
And so in order for us to actually have this this virtual town hall that my friend Richard Lang of Democrasoft is working on, in order to have that project come to fruition and actually be used, there needs to be a general uprising on the part of people both who identify as progressive and conservative and have these people come together so that we can piece together a likelier story and consensus reality. And that is really the function of WikiPolitiki. That's why I've created this platform, so that we can engage in co-creative conversations to come up with a likelier story, and even more importantly, to enroll spiritual people, religious people, secular, ethical, non-religious people, to come to a consensus appreciation of what is the sacred and recreate the heart and soul of our country around that precious sacred that has been absent from the core. And from there, like the Golden Rule, treat people the way you want to be treated, love thy neighbor, benefit all, create a system that benefits each and all, that benefits not just the uncommonly wealthy, but the commonwealth.
I always say lately, we have to develop respect for one another and for plants and for earth. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? But we don't have that in this country right now.
Those tools need to be cultivated. Now, there are groups, as part of the transpartisan movement that Joseph McCormick helped start, there's something called Living Room Conversations. And Joan Blades, who's still involved with Move On, and she's partnered with a young woman named Amanda Roman. And Amanda is a conservative activist.
Okay.
And they have something called Living Room Conversations. And they help people bring this civil, respectful conversations for possibility across the political divides into communities everywhere. They've got hundreds of these going. If you Google Living Room Conversations, you'll see that this thing is going.
I want to belong. Not belong. I want to attend. How's that?
Yes.
Are they online? Is that where it is?
Look up Living Room Conversations, okay. And you'll find out more about how to find them where you are and proliferate that. Now, there's many organizations like that, and we're going to be, as part of my Conversations for Co-Creation, I will be interviewing Amanda and Joan and we'll be talking about this and many, many, many other surprising and heartening ways for people to connect. I find this to be a very heartening story. I heard it about 20 years ago. I think it applies. My friend Patricia Sun, who is a noted spiritual psychologist, and this is back in the 90s.
Yeah, I love her. She's been on my show.
Yes, we love Patricia. Mm-hmm. So she showed up to do a talk at a New Age bookstore somewhere. And outside, she noticed that there were four fundamentalist Christians picketing the bookstore.
Okay.
And Patricia said, well, I'm going to go out and talk with them. And the bookstore owner says, oh, you can't talk with those people. But she said, I'm going to go. And Patricia went out and spoke with them for about 10 or 15 minutes. After that period of time, the picketers put down their signs. Three of them put down their signs, hugged Patricia, and said, you're saying just what Jesus said.
Aww.
And the fourth one wouldn't do that, and he kept picketing, okay?
Okay.
So what I gleaned out of that, I call it the law of 75.
Okay.
That 75% of healthy human beings, regardless of how strongly they hold their beliefs, in the face of love, and in the face of mutual respect, they will put down their picket sign and engage as a normal human being. When we create these settings where people are respected and listened to, they will engage. One of the most powerful movies of this past year was Trump Land. It was a little movie that Michael Moore made during the summer, during the election. And he went to a town in Ohio, which is all pro-Donald Trump, and he did his comedy routine there in a theater. And when you watch this movie and you watch how eventually he wins these people over, you'll see that so much of why there was such a reaction against the liberals and Hillary and so on, and even the mainstream media, is that these people have been ridiculing conservatives, ridiculing ordinary people, disrespecting their beliefs, making them into stereotypes rather than engaging. Mm-hmm. And because of that stereotyping, because of Hillary calling the people that voted for Donald Trump deplorables.
Oh, my Lord.
Mm. Because of that level of disrespect and because of the disrespect that the right wing has, in addition. Those were the kinds of things that really closed down the possibilities. Now, I know a lot of conservatives. I know people who voted for Trump who would have voted for Bernie Sanders.
Interesting. Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Bernie, again, the corporate state didn't allow that.
But But one of the things that's really interesting, just to go into this kind of storytelling, is that there's, I know a lot of young kids, because I have a grandson who's 12, and I have a friend who's also 12, and he went to school after Trump won the nomination, and the kids at his school were attacking each other for racism. They were swearing at each other, and they said, "Now we can tell you how we really feel."
That's right.
And
And
the kids take that on. You got to go, my goodness, you know.
well, I think what it is, again, and this is the bane of liberalism. Liberalism put a nicey-nicey face on all of these things that are unresolved. And we have unresolved thousands of years of living by the lowest common denominator. Dominator be dominated, okay? And so what happened during the era of political correctness is that all of these, now you got to be nice to people. It's not permitted. You can't use those phrases. You can't do that. And so the 9-year-old boy and everybody got repressed, and now it comes out again. Instead of telling people what you can't, instead of engaging by being nice to people on the surface, but secretly hating them, far better to have everything come out in the cauldron, get addressed and get cooked and get healed. We need truth and reconciliation. We need to reconcile and heal our entire history. And it's interesting that to see the shadow side of all of this, to hear, when I recorded my conversation with James with I'm sorry, William Pepper on the King assassination, and he said that Jesse Jackson, it showed that he was one of the co-conspirators who actually betrayed Martin Luther King by changing his hotel room to a room where he'd be more where we'd have a balcony that they
My
had a
gosh,
shot,
please. Oh,
and
that's
he
so
got
sad.
paid for that. So when that came out, my producer, who has been in radio for 45 years, said that when he first started out in radio in Chicago, which is where Jesse Jackson was from, it was common knowledge that his organization, Push, routinely blackmailed, pun intended, the government, and made them hire black people who were then, again, through his influence, that's how they got the job. There was all kinds of stuff going on then. So it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's a human thing. It's the aspects of human nature that have been reinforced by domination, by a system that encourages domination, by our unconscious beliefs that if we don't dominate the other person, they will dominate us. And it's the like the domino dominate theory, one thing leads to another. So it's a healing that's common to all people. It's not, no matter what group you're in, I'd probably say probably the Baha'i people haven't oppressed anybody, but just about every other religion, every other ethnic group has perpetrated to other people and perpetrated themselves. And part of this healing is a healing of all aspects of human nature, all of the perpetrations that have been done by everybody. We've all done this. And that's why my next podcast is going to be an interview with Leonard Lascow, who wrote a brilliant book on forgiveness called Forgiving Love, because we need to metabolize these toxins that are coming out. It's good that they're coming out. It's like the disease process in the body politic that has been so treated, the symptoms have been treated with political correctness. However, the disease has not been addressed.
Well, so do you really think that going back to the 12 video thing, do you believe that it's important for us all to get into that, or are we better just get up onto the surface and get going on hearing each other, on learning where our prejudices is and move be prejudices are and move beyond that? What do you think is, and we have to end this shortly, but what do you think as a final comment?
Well, I think it's very important for people, if anybody who wants to vote in an election in the future, I think it's very, very important that we educate ourselves. And, if you're preparing for a course, let's say that you want to, you're going to get a license for something. Even a driver's license, you'll look at the manual to find out what the laws are in your state if you move from another state, and you become familiar with it, so you pass the driver's test.
Right.
If you want to be a wise citizen, and I'd say that the reason why we're in the situation we're in that right now is that ordinary people have abdicated their responsibility. They've, even 8 years ago, we said, well, Obama will take care of it. And the bad guys took care of Obama. They've boxed him in. Or some people believe Obama was CIA right from the beginning. I don't know what to believe about that, but my point is that everything that's in Oliver Stone's video is pretty well vetted, pretty well history, pretty much real history that's been proved. And it's very important for us to see what the perpetrations have been up until now, so we have a balanced history of our country. When my colleague Joseph McCormick emerged from his conservative foxhole, the first thing that he did to educate himself is he read Howard Zinn, People's History of America. He allowed that to open his eyes so that he has a full picture. He's still a conservative. At the same time, he has a view of the perpetrations that have been done. He has a balanced picture, and his intention is justice for all. So that's why it's important for people to educate themselves if they want to be a wise citizen, so that when they go to the voting booth to make a decision, they're voting in a bigger context.
Wow, this is a very evolutionary conversation we're having today, and thank you so much, Steve Behrman of Wake, what is it called? Wake Up Laughing.
Wake Up Laughing is my comedy site for the Swami, which we haven't talked about much, and Wiki Politiki, which may or may not be up at the time of this is airing, will is my site on this political work. And as soon as it is, I'll let you know. And meanwhile, you can go to Wake Up Laughing, send me an email, and we will send you there, okay?
I've loved hearing your wisdom, and you also have really inspired that sense of unity, which some of us work on in our own quiet little way. And you've really given some broader perspectives on it. Thank you so much, Steve Behrman.
Thanks, Veronica, for the work and play you're doing.
All right, and you too. Many blessings.
Okay.
Bye.